طيب إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. Today, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our seventh session and seventh hadith from the Arabic lessons in hadith, level 2, al-mustawa al-thani, from the Islamic University of Medina Arabic language program. Before we begin with the hadith that we have for today, today we want to take out a few minutes to review the hadith that we had in the previous 6 weeks, in the previous 6 sessions. The first hadith that we had was the hadith of Jabir, reported by Al-Imam Muslim. Can anybody recite from memory the hadith of Jabir? From memory, naam. Okay, let's try Shu'aib. Try to recite loud, slow, and loud and clear so everybody can hear you. Naam.
An-Jabirin radiallahu anhu qala, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la ta'kulu bishimali fa inna shaytana ya'kulu bishimali fa muslimun.
Naam. Yani the hadith of Jabir, and we said that Jabir, he's the son of who? Abdullah, Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma. Yani Jabir radiallahu anhu, he said, qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la ta'kulu bishimal. Meaning? Do not eat with the left, meaning the left hand. Fa inna ash-shaytana ya'kulu bishimal. Meaning? For indeed, verily, shaytan eats with the left hand. Rawahu Muslim, reported by Al-Imam Muslim. Okay, the second hadith is the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, also reported by Al-Imam Muslim. The hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Who memorized this hadith can recite it for us from memory. Nasir. وفي كل خير. طيب, try to pay attention to alif lam, words that have alif lam, please don't leave it out, huh? يعني المؤمن, المؤمن القوي خير وحب إلى الله من المؤمن الضعيف. المؤمن الضعيف وفي كل خير. What is the meaning of this hadith? Somebody else. What's the meaning of this hadith? المؤمن القوي. نعم. طالب.
The believer, the strong believer, is better than the weak believer.
Okay. خير وأحب إلى الله is better and more beloved by Allah. More beloved by Allah. عليك السلام. Than the weak believer. يعني المؤمن القوي, the strong believer. خير is better. وَأَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ, and more beloved to Allah, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنَ الدَّعِيفِ, than the weak believer. وَفِي كُلٍ, and in each one of them there is خير, there is good. And this hadith is also reported by Al-Imam Muslim. Third hadith is also from Abu Hurairah, hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and it is reported يعني by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Who memorized this hadith? Hadith, the third hadith, نعم third hadith. Anybody on this side? Third hadith. يعني يسلم الصغير. Anybody memorize this hadith? محمد. نعم.
عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يسلم الصغير على الكبير والنار على الفائض والقليل على الكثير.
نعم. متفق عليه. أحسنت ما شاء الله. Hadith also of Abu Hurairah. This hadith is also from Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه. It is متفق عليه. Meaning what?
Agreed
upon. By who? Al-Bukhari and Muslim. He said, عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. That the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, يسلم الصغير على الكبير. Meaning? Give salams the small to big one. طيب, that's the general meaning, but give it a little bit more exactly. The small or the young one should give salams, should initiate salams, should be the first one to give salams to the older one. The young people should initiate salams to the older people. والمارو على القاعدي. Meaning? The passer by, the one who's passing by, should initiate salams to? The one who is sitting. وَالْقَلِيلُ عَلَى الْكَثِيرِ. The smaller group should initiate salams to the bigger group. And this hadith we said is متفقٌ عليه. And the fourth hadith is the hadith of Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه. It is also متفقٌ عليه. Hadith of Anas. And who memorized this hadith? Hadith of Anas. نعم مصطفى.
أنس رضي الله عنه قال
عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال. نعم. This hadith, the wording, the way they gave the wording is a little different than the other hadith. The other hadith, all of them said قال رسول الله. This one said يعني عن النبي, عن أنس رضي الله عنه, عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. نعم.
عن أنس رضي الله عنه, عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
قال
يتبع الميت ثلاثة, أهله وماله وعمله, فيرجع اثنان ويبقى واحد. يرجع أهله وماله ويبقى عمله. وراه متفق عليه.
Muttafaqun alayh, naam. Meaning, muttafaqun alayh, meaning again?
Al-Bukhari wa Muslim.
Naam, agreed upon by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said, يَتْبَعُ الْمَيِّتَ ثَلَاثَةٌ. What is the meaning? يَتْبَعُ الْمَيِّتَ ثَلَاثَةٌ.
Three
will follow the deceased, the person who has died. Three things. Naam. And what are they? Ahluhu wa maluhu wa amaluhu. Ahluhu means his family. Maluhu, his wealth or property. Wa amaluhu, his deeds. Fayarji'u thnani wa yabqa wahid. فَيَرْجِعُوا then, يعني after they follow him to the grave, فَيَرْجِعُوا then they will return what? يعني اثنان, two of them, وَيَبْقَى واحد, and one will remain. يعني which will return? يَرْجِعُوا أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ. يعني his family and his wealth will return, leave, they will not stay with him in the grave. وَيَبْقَى يعني what will remain, يعني عمله يعني يبقى عمله. متفق عليه. The fifth hadith of Uthman reported by Al-Imam Muslim, hadith of Uthman ibn Affan رضي الله عنه. نعم عبد الرحمن.
الجنة.
نعم في الجنة رواه مسلم رواه مسلم عن عثمان and this عثمان يعني he is the one of the خلفاء الراشدين المهديين يعني عثمان بن عفان رضي الله عنه which order he came in the خلافة third خليفة he was the third خليفة after the prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and عثمان narrated this hadith he said قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من بنى لله مسجدا بنى الله له بيتا في الجنة من بنى لله مسجدا meaning whoever builds a masjid for the sake of Allah يعني for the pleasure of Allah sincerely يعني مخلصا with إخلاص sincerely for the sake of Allah alone بنى الله له بيتا في الجنة then Allah will build for him a house in the paradise Allah will build for him a house in al-jannah in the paradise in this hadith reported by Imam Muslim and the last hadith that we had until now last week's hadith the hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu reported by Ahmed Abu Dawud and Nasa'i anybody memorize last week's hadith And almost everybody memorizes it. Okay, second Mustafa, we give you a shot, huh?
Right.
Somebody help.
وأخذ ذهبا فجعله في شمالي فقال ثم قال حازين إن حازين
وبرن
حرام على ذكر أمتي
نعم reported by help him without looking
Rahu
Ahmed wa Abu Dawood wa Nasa'i naam okay the hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu and again he is one of the Khulafa al-Rashidin al-Mahdiin in which order he is after Uthman yani the fourth Khalifa yani rightly guided Khalifa after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he said inna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallama What is the meaning of it? Inna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Verily, yani with certainty, definitely, certainly, surely, verily, indeed, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did this. Akhadha hariran, meaning? He took a piece of silk, faja'alahu fi yameenihi. And he put it or placed it in his right hand. Wa akhadha dhahaban. And he took a piece of gold, فَجَعْلَهُ فِي شِمَالِهِ And he placed it in his left hand, ثُمَّ قَالَ And then, after doing this, then he said, إِنَّ هَذَيْنِي حَرَامٌ عَلَى ذُكُورِ أُمَّتِي Meaning? Verily, these two are haram for the males of my ummah. And in another narration, there's some clarification, wording, that clarifies further the meaning of this hadith. He said, what? حِلٌ لِإِنَاثِهِمْ And it is, يعني حَرَامٌ عَلَى ذُكُورِ أُمَّتِي يعني it's حَرَامٌ on the ذُكُور, the males of my ummah. وَحِلٌ meaning حَلَالٌ لِإِنَاثِهِمْ And lawful for their women. Inathihim. Yani inath is the plural of? Untha. Inath, the plural of untha. Yani, naam. Female. Plural of untha. Inathihim, meaning their women. The women of the ummah, of my ummah. Of the males of my ummah. Naam. Tayyib, these are the hadith that we had until now. We want to review these hadith from time to time. We might not have a chance to do it in every session, but you should be reviewing all the time, every week, so that if you have memorized any of these hadith, whichever ones you have memorized, you won't forget them, and then you can add to them whatever we're taking as we go along. طيب, the hadith today, al-hadith, yani al-dars al-sabi, we're on page 18. Page 18, al-dars al-sabi, meaning al-sabi, meaning the seventh lesson. And this is our seventh session, and this is the seventh lesson and the seventh hadith. This is also a hadith from Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma bayna bayti wa minbari rawdatun min riyadil jannati. Muttafaqun alayh. This hadith again is one of the shorter hadith that everybody is required to memorize. Mandatory. It's not even 10 words. Less than 10 words. Huh? Ma bayna bayti wa minbari rawdatun min riyadil jannati. Muttafaqun alayh. Okay, let's look at this hadith a little bit. And make sure that we understand the words in it, and also any expression that came in there, or any grammatical rule or something that's not clear to us, we try to clarify it, then we'll repeat it a few times, and then we'll go yani to the lesson and see what they have mentioned here. And today, inshallah, hopefully we'll have enough time to look at some important yani statements from the scholars concerning the meaning of this particular hadith. Very, very important hadith, significant hadith, that has some meaning that we should be conscious of and aware of, and take advantage of if Allah opens the way for us yani to yani apply yani what we found in the meaning or significance of this hadith. Naam. Okay, so the beginning of the hadith, an Abi Hurairata. Yani an means here what? From or on the authority of, yani it's coming from Abi Huraira. So Abi here, yani what is the i'rab of Abi here?
Object
of a preposition, which should make it yani mansub, marfu'un, majrurun. The sign that it's majrur is what? Kesra or ya? Which one? Somebody said kesra, somebody said ya. Is it kesra or is it ya? The sign that it's majrur. Who knows certainly without any doubt and can explain why? If you are certain about it, you have to be able to tell us why. Is it kesra or is it ya? Don't be afraid. Now, Mustafa. You think? Wait a minute. I said, who's certain? Who's certain? And then explain to us why. Who's certain? Nobody is certain? Naam. Okay, but don't say, I think. Tell us with certainty. Yani, the sign that is majrur is what?
Yeah.
The sign that is majrur is yeah. Not kasra, yeah. Because this is from al-asma al-khamsa. The five nouns that when they are in idafa, the sign of their i'rab is not fatha, kasra, or dhamma. Rather, it is ya or alif or waw. Ya or alif or waw. Instead of kasra, it is ya. Instead of dhamma, it will be waw. Instead of fatha, it will be alif. Okay, it is an idafa because it's mudaf to Hurairah. Yani mudaf, mudaf ilayh. Or it is mudaf ila, yani ya al mutakallam here. Okay, Abi. Okay, an Abi Hurairata. An Abi Hurairata. Yani on the authority of from the father of Hurairah. What is Hurairah?
Cat
or kitten. Now, why is he given this name like this? Because he used to love to have the kittens or the cats. Okay? An Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu. What is the meaning of radiyallahu anhu? Naam. Literally, it's past tense, right? Radiya, Allah was pleased with him. But this is in the form of dua, so the intended meaning is a supplication. May Allah be pleased with him. Qala, yani Abu Hurairah said, Qala Rasulullah, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this supplication for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani, may the salat and the salam be upon him. That is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani, on the authority of Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, that the Messenger of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, ma bayna bayti wa mimbari روضة من رياض الجنة. متفق عليه. Okay, here ما, and as we'll see in this lesson, this ما is not like when you say ما هذا. يعني ما استفهام, asking a question. This ما has the meaning of الذي, يعني ما الموصولة. And it has the meaning the same as الذي, يعني that which, or he who. But here it means a thing, right? It's talking about a thing, not a person. So the meaning is that which. What is, يعني ما بين, that which is between, بيتي, my house, ومنبري, and my منبر, يعني that which, or what, that which is between my house and my منبر is a rawda. Is a rawda. What is a rawda?
A garden.
Rawdatun from Riyadh. What is the meaning of Riyadh?
Plural.
The plural of rawda. It's the plural of rawda. Rawda is a garden. Riyadh is gardens. So that which is between, yani this place that is between my house and my minbar. What is the minbar? Yani it's something with a few steps that the khatib stands up in when he gives the khutbah on Yawm al-Jumu'ah, right? The minbar. That which is between my house and my minbar is a garden. Yani that place between his house and his minbar is a garden from the gardens of Jannah. This Riyadh is mudaf to al-Jannah, mudafan ilayhi. Okay? Min is a preposition, so Riyadh has kasra, it's majroor, and al-Jannah is mudafan ilayhi. And we know that the word that's mudafan ilayhi is always majroor. Okay, min riyadhi al-jannati, that which is between my house. It did come in some narrations, ma bayna qabri wa minbari, and this is weak. This wording, if you see it, yani that which is between my grave and my house, that is a weak narration. Even though yani it may have come in some places which might suggest it to be authentic, it is not authentic according to the best opinion of the scholars. Yani, that which is between my house. Indeed, that which is referred to as his house here, the room of Aisha radiallahu anha, became the place of his grave, right? But in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say his grave. He said my house. Yani, this hadith, he said this to the people while he was living. As for where his grave was going to be later, Allahu alam, yani Allah only knew. And then yani, it turned out that he was buried where he died, in the room of Aisha. We know that he died, and his last days was with Aisha radiallahu anha, by agreement of his other wives, that they told him he can stay with her, and he died with her, and he was buried where he died at, in the room of Aisha radiallahu anha. Ma bayna bayti, that which is between my house, bayti, wa minbari, and my minbar, the place of standing for giving the khutbah, is a garden from the gardens of paradise. Now what does this mean, a garden from the gardens of paradise? There are different opinions of the scholars, and inshallah, hopefully, if we have enough time, we're going to go into the meaning of it. Let's just read it a couple of times, and then let's look at yani, the explanation that is given here in the book. Okay, so again, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما بين بيتي ومنبري روضة من رياض الجنة. متفق عليه. ما بين بيتي ومنبري. ما بين بيتي ومنبري. روضة من رياض الجنة. نعم. One more time. ما بين بيتي ومنبري. روضة من رياض الجنة. متفق عليه. Okay, somebody recite from memory. Okay, Nasir first.
An Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ma baina bayti wa mimbari rawdatun min riyadil jannah. Muttafaqun alayhi.
أحسنت. نعم مصطفى.
عن أبو هريرة
رضي عن أبي هريرة.
عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما بين بيتي ومنبري روضة من رياض الجنة.
Now, shadda on the ta, muttafakun, muttafakun, yani from ittafaka yattafiku, to agree upon something, muttafakun alayhi. Anybody else? Naam. Naam. Okay, fadlu.
An Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu qala, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma bayna bayti, ma bayna bayti,
ومنبري
روضة من رياض الجنة.
أحسنت ما شاء الله جميل ما شاء الله جميل is with us today. أحسنت good good. Somebody else. One more. نعم عبد الكريم.
ما بين وبين بيتي
ما شاء الله جميل is helping. نعم فايز.
عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما بين بيتي ومنبري روضة من رياض الجنة.
متفق. نعم آدم.
عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما بين بيتي ومنبري روضة من رياض الجنة. متفق عليه.
أحسنت ما شاء الله. طيب brothers and sisters, يعني this hadith is a very important hadith and it's not that long and it's worthy of our memorization, especially and if we understand the importance of it. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم telling us something that we cannot know except يعني it came to him by revelation. يعني something that people cannot figure out by studying science or mathematics or engineering. This is something that's revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there is a place, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is specifically between, he said, my house and my minbar. يعني his house, meaning here, he had many houses, right? Each one of his wives has a room, a hujra. And he means here the house of Aisha radiallahu anha, that which is between my house and my minbar. And in that space there, it is a rawda, a garden from the gardens of paradise. Either it means this literally, yani that this place is yani going to be transferred in the next life and it will be a part, an actual physical place in Jannah, or it means figuratively that it resembles Jannah in some kind of way, or it has some kind of meaning like this, yani meaning that, as some of the scholars said, that the worship that is taking place there, the dhikr and dua and qira'atul Qur'an and salat, that the worship that takes place in this place will be the cause of people entering the Jannah. In any case, whichever of the meanings that the scholars have mentioned, and we may look at this if we have time in the end, we can see that this is something very significant. It's very significant. It's very significant. Now, it is a garden from the gardens of Jannah. So if a person was enabled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be able to go to Medina and visit the Masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is a place that people should look to pray in. Okay, we won't go into the details of the discussion about it. What about the voluntary prayers, obligatory prayers, all of this? But the point is, certainly this is a special place. A person should look to pray in that particular place that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has informed us of. It is a garden from the gardens of paradise. Okay, an Abi Hurairata رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما بين بيتي ومنبري روضة من رياض الجنة. Anybody else want to recite it by memory? Now, Musa.
عن أبي هريرة صلى الله عليه وسلم ما بين بيتي ومنبري روضة من رياض الجنة. متفق عليه.
أحسنت ما شاء الله. Right. We also hope that the sisters are reciting to themselves in the sisters' area, and those who have memorized it. All of us should memorize this hadith. Everybody should memorize this hadith because, number one, of its significance and its importance, and also because it's easy to memorize, and we need to memorize some hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani, if we memorize anything in our life, there is nothing that we should have memorized that have greater importance than the Qur'an, the Kalamullah, and the authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what we should be memorizing. Not that we can't memorize anything else, but this is the most important thing. And after that, there are other things that are also important, no doubt. Yani, the most important of things are the things that are related to our deen, the knowledge of this deen. And after that, there are other worldly things that are also of some benefit that we can also attend to. Now, okay, let's look at the lesson and see what we have here concerning this hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu that is agreed upon by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. The first thing we see after the hadith, مَا بَيْنَ بَيْتِي to the end of the hadith. هَذِهِ مَا الْمَوْصُولَةِ يعني, in this statement, مَا بَيْنَ بَيْتِي this مَا in مَا بَيْنَ بَيْتِي this مَا هذه it is this is ما الموصولة ما الموصولة. What do we mean by ما الموصولة? We mean the relative ما, the ما that has the meaning of الذي, he who or that which. يعني in reference to a person you would say he who. يعني الذي he who such and such and so and so. In reference to a thing you say that which. يعني ما الموصولة. For example, تقول you say. And for example, of how this ma al-mawsoola is used, you say, number one, and the first example they gave us, أكتبوا ما تكتبوا. يعني أنا أكتبوا, يعني أكتبوا is from the verb what? كتب, كتب. أنا أكتبوا ما تكتبوا. What is the meaning? What is the meaning? أكتبوا ما تكتبوا. I am writing what you are writing. Or I will write what you will write. I write what you write. أكتبوا الذي تكتبوا. يعني ما تكتبوا. ما meaning الذي. أنا, I will write whatever you write. That which you write. أكتبوا ما تكتبوا. نعم.
One question. Why is it هذه?
هذه. يعني meaning. نعم. ما الموصولة يعني we're referring back to it in feminine form موصولة. نعم. طيب أكتب ما تكتب. Second example they gave us, قال الله تعالى, يعني that Allah سبحانه وتعالى the Most High, he said ما عندكم ينفد وما عند الله باق. What is the meaning? ما عندكم ينفدو. That is with you, meaning who?
You all.
You all. يعني everybody, everything in the creation. ما عندكم, whatever is with you all, ينفدو. Will end, will cease. يعني it's not ongoing forever, right? It is not endless. Rather, it will end, it will cease. ما عندكم ينفدو. Will be used up. It will be exhausted. يعني it will be depleted. It will dwindle away, it will run out. It will not last forever. مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدُوا. يعني from نَفِدَ يَنْفَدُوا. وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ. And that which is with Allah will remain forever. Will remain, will be lasting, will be eternal. يعني what is with you all in the creation, everything that you possess, يعني will be exhausted. Will cease to exist, will end, will dwindle away. But what is with Allah will remain. What is with Allah will remain. So here again we see the ma means الَّذِي عِنْدَكُمْ that which is with you all. وَالَّذِي عِنْدَ اللَّهِ and that which is with Allah. Naam. So these are examples of the use of this ma. We know that in Arabic there are different types of ma. The first one that we came across was ما الاستفهام when you're asking a question ما هذا huh? And we also saw ما يعني النافية يعني that's negation ما كتبت ما جلست ما أكلت meaning I did not negation of something and so we know that there are different types of ما this is a type of ما ما الموصولة has the same meaning of الذي the relative يعني relative pronoun طيب after this we have the next word that is المنبر المنبر in this hadith ما بين بيتي ومنبري ومنبري between my house and my منبر he said المنبر جمعه منابر جمعه منابر meaning its plural is منابر notice that منابر does not have تنوين ممنوع من الصرف why is it ممنوع من الصرف huh what is slow down huh oh you mean you're telling me what is ممنوع من الصرف means that it doesn't make all the changes of a normal noun right it doesn't take يعني the إعراب endings don't change from فتح كسر ضمة rather it makes only some of the changes and also doesn't take تنوين as we see it here without تنوين but why is it ممنوع من الصرف what is the reason why it doesn't take تنوين جم تكسير okay it's the type all جم تكسير words don't take ممنوع من الصرف يعني no huh not all of them some of them are ممنوع من الصرف and some of them are not why this particular one because it's on the wazn of what مفاعل مفاعل the broken plural that's on the wazn of مفاعل يعني we said here what منابر that's on the wazn of مفاعل like مساجد huh? مكاتب and so on like this this broken plural pattern مفاعل is ممنوع من الصرف okay and we had maybe four patterns or five or six of those patterns four of them in lesson 13 from Medina book 1 and then we had a couple more after that and some of the future the lessons that came after that okay so منبر the plural its plural is منابر منابر without تنوين what is the منبر the منبر is the place the stand that has three steps or so and the khatib who's giving the khutbah on Yawm al-Jumma stands in it when he gives the khutbah the place of standing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to stand in a minbar before that before the minbar was made for him where did he used to stand
tree.
On a tree stump he used to stand on a tree stump and then yani a minbar was made for him and he transferred from the tree stump to the minbar and it is reported authentically that that tree stump when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave it up as his place of standing what did it do
cried.
It cried and it was heard by the people it was heard by the people Naam. One of the miracles the mu'jiza or the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala second next point kana baytu an-nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi mawdi'i qabrihi al-ana yani kana baytu an-nabiyyi yani bayt is mudaf and an-nabiyyi is mudafun ilayhi kana baytu an-nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi mawdi'i qabrihi الآن. What is the meaning? كان بيت النبي. طيب after that then.
Thank you.
الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, we were saying that يعني here it is being explained the place of the house of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. What is its location? كان meaning in the past, right? كان بيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني وعليكم السلام the house of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to be كان في موضع قبره الآن. What is the meaning? نعم in the place في موضع يعني موضع means the place of قبره his grave الآن now. Where his grave is now, that's where his house was. His house was in the place where his grave is now. So where's his grave now? The place where his grave is now, that was the place where his house was. That was his house. Alright? So, this is important to understand when we see here, بَيْنَ بَيْتِي وَمِنْبَرِي يعني, meaning, where's his house? Yani where his grave is now. So between the place where his grave is now and his minbar, where his minbar was, that is yani what we are talking about. This is the location that we are talking about. Yani where there is a rawda, a garden from the gardens of Jannah. The next word is ar-rawdatu, and the meaning of a rawda is al-bustan. What is a bustan? A garden. Or it may also be defined as al-hadiqa. Al-hadiqa means a park, a garden, a big garden or a park. So the rawda is a bustan or a hadiqa. Yani a garden or a park. Yani a big place where there are trees and flowers and growth and so on. Where there's shade and comfort and relaxation, right? A garden from the gardens of Jannah. وَجَمْعُهَا يعني the plural of الرَّوْضَ جَمْعُهَا its plural is رِيَاضٌ يعني رَوْضَ is a bustan or hadika and its plural is رِيَاد. Okay, on the next page we look at the questions that come with this lesson مُنَاقَشَة يعني discussion of the issues related to the hadith أَجِبْ عَنْ مَا يَأْتِي أَجِبْ عَنْ مَا يَأْتِي answer concerning what follows. Number one, في مسجد النبوي روضة من رياض الجنة بين موضعها في المسجد النبوي meaning in the Prophet's masjid المسجد النبوي. Nabawi is from the word نبي. In the masjid of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم there is a روضة, a garden, من رياض الجنة, from the gardens of Jannah. بَيِّن مَوْضِعَهَا. What does it mean? بَيِّن مَوْضِعَهَا. بَيِّن, not بَيْنَ. بَيِّن. Look at the difference between بَيْنَ. Huh? This word means, this is بَيْنَ, and this is بَيِّن. They look the same, right? But look at the vowel. بَيِّن. This is بَيْنَ, and this is بَيِّن. يعني with شَدَّ on the ya and كَسْرَ. بَيِّن. يعني بَيْنَ has سكون on the ya. Bayin has shadda on the ya with kasra. Okay, bayin means what? Bayan, clarify, make clear. Bayin mawdi'aha, make clear its place. Mawdi', mawdi' means place, makan. Mawdi', yani with dad and ayn, mawdi'. Bayin mawdi'aha, make clear its place. Where is its place? Okay, somebody answer this question. Yani where is the place of the rawda min riyadu jannah? Na'am, Musa. نعم موضعها يعني مبتدا right موضعها بين بيته ومنبره بين بيته ومنبره. نعم second question أين كان بيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أين كان بيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. What is the meaning of the question? Where was the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Where was it? Naam, Mustafa.
Kana
baytu al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
Fi
mawdi'.
Fi mawdi'.
ها
قبره الآن
قبره الآن يعني كان بيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في موضع ها قبره الآن. It was in the place where his grave is now. Now number three, بماذا. Notice that there's a little barrier, right? بماذا. بماذا وصف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الموضع الذي بين بيته ومنبره. بماذا وصف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الموضع الذي بين بيته ومنبره. What is the meaning? بماذا وصف. نعم.
With what?
With what? With what? Meaning how? يعني literally with what did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم وصف. وصف means what?
Describe.
To describe. With what did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم describe? How did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم describe الموضع, the place, المكان الذي بين بيته ومنبره, the place that is between his house and his minbar. With what? بماذا وصف هذا الموضع. نعم.
وصف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الموضع الذي بين بيته ومنبره روضة من رياض الجنة.
وصف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الموضع الذي بين بيته ومنبره. He described it with what? بأنه روضة من رياض الجنة. He described it as being a garden from the gardens of paradise. Number four. من الصحابي الذي روى هذا الحديث. من الصحابي الصحابي الذي روى هذا الحديث. يعني the hadith ما بين بيتي ومنبري روضة من رياض الجنة. نعم. On this side. Straight. هو أبي هريرة وهو أبو هريرة. يعني أبي is because of عن, but there's no عن here, so it goes back to being مرفوع, right? هو أبو هريرة يعني الصحابي الذي روى الحديث أبو هريرة. أبو هريرة يعني originally it's أبو, but in the narration of hadith when we say عن it makes it مجرور, so we say عن أبي هريرة. نعم. And the second part of this question, ومن المحدث الذي أخرجه. أخرجه من المحدث الذي أخرجه. آدم. نعم.
المحدثين الذي أخرج هذا الحديث إمام البخاري وإمام مسلم.
الإمام البخاري والإمام مسلم. نعم. طيب. Second part of the questions. Second part of the questions. Second set of questions. Question number one. ما معنى الروضة وما جمعها. ما معنى الروضة. What is the meaning of the question? What's the meaning of the question? What is the meaning of الروضة and وما جمعها and what is its plural? What is the plural of الروضة. نعم. مصطفى. بستان.
رياض.
Type. Anybody else want to answer this question? Give us a little different reflection on it now. Because they gave us two words, right? Now. معنى الروضة حديقة. حديقة. جمعها الرياض. نعم. يعني the meaning of الروضة is, as he said, البستان, or as he said, الحديقة. And the plural of Rawda is Riyadh. Riyadh. Like the capital of Saudi Arabia, right? Riyadh. Naam. Second question. ما جمعوا منبر. يعني, what is the meaning? What is the plural of منبر? Naam. Huh? Manabir. Give us a full answer. Full sentence.
جمعوها.
Okay. جمعوها. جمعها منابر. منابر. جمعها منابر. نعم.
جمعها
Rawda is is feminine.
Minbar.
Oh, minbar. Naam. But here, yani, normally in these words, when you're looking at the words, yani, we're talking about the kalima. Kalima, yani, ma mana kalima rawda. The word kalima. And it's like understood like this. Naam. Number three. Adkhil, yani, adkhil. Yani, this is a fi'l amr. Enter or utilize mal mawsula fi jumlatin min indak. Yani, adkhil mal mawsula fi jumlatin min indak. Naam. What is the meaning of the question? Naam. Yani, adkhil, enter or utilize mal mawsula, the relative ma, in a sentence min indika. Yani, from yourself, that you made up yourself. A sentence that you made up yourself. Naam. Somebody give us a sentence. Naam. Ashrabu ma tashrabu. I will drink what you drink. Yani, somebody said to you, ماذا تشرب? What would you like to drink? Ashrabu ma tashrabu. I'll drink whatever you're drinking. And as long as they're Muslim, you can, inshallah, Muslim who fears Allah, you can say that. You can't say that to everybody, right? You say that to the kafir, he may give you something to drink that you won't be able to drink. Naam, somebody give us one more sentence. Say with mal mawsula. Naam, faiz. Say that again. Now, here it's more proper to use the word alladhi, because ma is normally used in a sentence where, yani, where alladhi is not used, even though the meaning is the same. But here, yani, the meaning it should be like, yani, this and that, two things going together. Yani, I will, yani, eat what you eat. I will drink what you drink. Huh? This is how it's normally more so used. Rather, in the sense that you are using there, it would be better to say alladhi. It would be better to say alladhi. In any case, yani, quickly, in the time that's remaining, we want to look at this hadith, yani, in terms of its meaning. In terms of its meaning. Yani, I don't mean the translation of its meaning, but I mean, yani, what is the intended meaning of the hadith? First thing, there are 2 points here. What time is the Iqama? 1:30, good. Okay, so there are 2 things here that we want to look at quickly in reference to this hadith. And we also want to say that whoever didn't recite it today from memory, we want you to recite before the class is over, okay? So let's look at the hadith, and it's on the board. Let's try to look at the words and see if we can get a few more people to memorize it while we're sitting here today. Okay, first thing in reference to this hadith, and this is from the hadith that has been reported, mutawatir, and it came from, yani, with different chains of narration reported by different scholars. From amongst them, we said Muttafaqun Alayhi, reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, but it has been narrated by others besides them on the authority of Abu Huraira, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma bayna bayti wa minbari rawdatun min riyadul jannah." So that which is between my house and my minbar is a garden from the gardens of paradise. As far as the expression "ma bayna qabari wa minbari," we said that this hadith has been narrated instead of the word bayt, qabari. Which, what is intended by bayt, yani, the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the place where he's buried now, which is his qabr now. But it has been narrated in some of the books of hadith with the wording "ma bayna qabari wa minbari," and this has come in a narration from Ibn Asaqir in his narration of Sahih al-Bukhari. Yani, the way he reported the Sahih al-Bukhari, but most of the narrators who heard the Sahih al-Bukhari, who narrated that book from, yani, al-Imam al-Bukhari, they didn't narrate it with this wording. Rather, he was, yani, narrating this in error, apparently. Some of the scholars continued even to ascribe this narration to al-Imam al-Bukhari because of the narration from Ibn Asaqir. But rather, Bukhari himself, when he even narrated the hadith with the original wording, "ma bayna bayti wa minbari," he even entitled in one of the books, yani, he entitled, yani, the title of the subject of that topic, he entitled it, يعني بيتي يعني with the expression بيتي ومنبري, he made the chapter heading فضل ما بين القبر والمنبر. يعني chapter heading he said يعني that the excellence or the superiority of that which is between the grave and the minbar. يعني in the chapter heading, not in the Sahih of Bukhari, but in other place, he narrated this chapter heading like this, or he mentioned the chapter heading like this, but the wording that he mentioned under there is the wording that we have here. مَا بَيْنَ بَيْتِي وَمِنْبَرِي. And this might have led some people to believe that Imam Bukhari actually is narrating the hadith with the word qabr, when in fact he didn't narrate it like that. He did not narrate it like that. In any case, most of the scholars said that this hadith, yani with the wording qabri, yani is weak. And for two reasons they said, yani the first reason is that most of the narrators who narrated from Bukhari, the people who heard his book from him, they narrated with the word bayti instead of qabri. And secondly, as Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah said, if in fact the companions of the Prophet ﷺ had heard this hadith from him with the wording of qabr, then at the time of his death there would not have been a dispute as to where to bury him. There was a dispute at his death. Should they bury him here or should they bury him where? And somebody said that yani, the prophets are buried where they die. But there was a dispute about it. Had they heard this hadith, somebody would have said, yani, his grave is going to be in the place of his house. It would have been clear from that alone. Nobody, yani, there's no report of anybody saying such. And this is the proof that that wording was not known. Yani, qabri, bayna qabri wa minbari was not known yani, to the people in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says that which is confirmed from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the wording that we have here, ma bayna bayti wa minbari rawdatun min riyadil jannah. This is what is thabit, confirmed in the Sahih al-Bukhari. Lakin ba'duhum rawahu bil ma'na faqala qabri. He said, but perhaps some of the people narrated the hadith according to the meaning. Yani that the meaning of bayt means the place where he's buried now. Yani the people after his death, some people may have narrated the hadith according to the meaning as opposed to the actual words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As he said, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, وَهُوَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ هِنَا قَالَ هَذَا الْقَوْلَ لَمْ يَكُنْ قَدْ قُبِرَ بَعَدْ صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهُ وَسَلَامُ عَلَيْهِ. Because at the time when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, he had not been buried. Yani there wasn't any grave. He had not yet been buried. He was living when he said this. For this reason, no one from amongst the companions at the time when there was a dispute of where they should place his body, no one mentioned this hadith by this wording of qabr. And if it had been known to them, then this would have been a clear textual proof of where he should be buried, and it would have ended dispute on the spot. This is what he mentions in Majmu' Fatawa in the first volume, 236 page. And then there are other scholars like Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani who also said that that the narration that is correct is the narration of يعني بين بيتي ومنبري. Second point that I want to go to quickly يعني is يعني the meaning of this hadith. And in the beginning of the class we mentioned يعني briefly in passing some of the meanings that the scholars have given for this hadith. And I want to read yani just a couple of quotations from a few of the well-known scholars of hadith who mentioned this hadith and its possible meaning, what is intended by a rawda from the gardens of Jannah. The first of them is Al-Qadi Iyad. And we know that Al-Qadi Iyad rahimahullah is a great scholar of hadith, and he is one of the scholars who give explanation of Sahih Muslim yani before the explanation of Sahih Muslim by Imam Nawawi. Yani the explanation that's well known to most of us today is the explanation of Imam An-Nawawi. But before him, Al-Qadi Iyad made a tremendous explanation of Sahih Muslim. Jazakallah khair. Barakallah feekum. It has to be stamped?
Yeah.
Okay, inshallah. So, in any case, Al-Qadi Iyad, rahimahullah, he says, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Rawdatun min riyadul jannah," yahtamil ma'nayayn. And this expression has two possible meanings. He says two possible meanings. The first of them, annahu mujib li dhalika, yani that this place is that which would necessitate a person being in Jannah. Yani due to what? يعني أن الدعاء والصلاة فيه يستحق ذلك من الثواب. يعني that the person who makes dua in this place, in this area between the house of the Prophet and his minbar, the person who makes dua in this place, who makes salah in this place, يعني يستحق ذلك من الثواب. Then they're entitled to, from making dua, worshiping in this place, making salah in this place, they're entitled to, يعني be in a place in Jannah, كما قيل الجنة تحت ذلال السيوف. In the same way that in another hadith, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that Jannah will be beneath the shadows of the swords, meaning that the person who fights in the way of Allah will be entitled to Jannah. So in a similar sense, he is saying here, Qadi Iyad is saying that it is the worship, the dua and the salat in this area that entitles a person to a reward that enables them to enter the Jannah. The second meaning he says, أن تلك البقعة قد ينقلها قد ينقلها الله فتكون في الجنة بعينها. يعني that this particular بقعة, يعني this موضي, this place on the earth, that this particular place, يعني perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will transfer it, will convey it, يعني so that it will be in the Jannah. يعني exactly, يعني this particular place specifically, يعني بعينها, يعني literally, physically will be in the Jannah. And he mentioned, يعني from the scholars who held this opinion, that he is conveying here as the second possible meaning. He mentioned this in his book Al-Shafa' in the second volume, 92. Likewise, from amongst the scholars that discussed the meaning of this hadith is Ibn Abdul Barr. And we know that Ibn Abdul Barr, rahimahullah, was a great scholar of hadith, and he wrote and he compiled a number of important books. From amongst the most important of them is At-Tamheed, yani explanation of the Muwatta of Imam Malik. Tremendous book of great, great, great importance. And Ibn Abdul Barr, a Maliki scholar in terms of fiqh, but he was indeed an imam in the science of hadith. He said, in his explanation of the Muwatta of Imam Malik, he says, قَالَ قَوْمٌ, yani in reference to the meaning of this hadith, he mentions two opinions. قَالَ قَوْمٌ, some of the scholars, some of the people, meaning scholars, said, مَعْنَاهُ أَنَّ الْبُقْعَةَ تُرْفَعُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَتُجْعَلُ رَوْضَةٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. يعني the meaning is that, one of the meanings some of the scholars said, is that this particular specific place on the earth, it will be raised up on يوم القيامة, and it will be made to be a garden in the actual Jannah, paradise. Similar to what was said previously. He said, وَقَالَ آخَرُونَ, and another group of the people, meaning the scholars, they said, هَذَا عَلَى الْمَجَازِ, yani that the meaning is not literal, but it is figurative. يعني كَأَنَّهُمْ يَعْنُونَ أَنَّهُ لَمَّا كَانَ جُلُوسُهُ وَجُلُوسَ النَّاسِ عَلَيْهِ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ يَتَعَلَّمُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَالْإِيمَانَ وَالدِّينَ هُنَاكَ شُبِّهَ ذَلِكَ الْمَوْضُعُ بِالْرَوْضَةِ لِكَرْمِ مَا يَجْتَنِبْ أَوْ يَجْتَنِي فِيهَا. يعني he said that the meaning is figurative. It is as though what is intended by this is that since the people, yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting in this place, and the people, the companions, they were also sitting with him in this place, يَتَعَلَّمُونَ الْقُرْآنَ, learning the Quran, وَالْإِيمَانَ, and the matters of faith and the deen, since they were in this particular place doing that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sitting there and the people sitting there learning the matters of deen, so it has been made to resemble, yani this place has been made to resemble, or it has taken on the resemblance of a garden, yani due to the nobility of the fruits that the people received in that place, yani the fruits of knowledge of the deen. Yani it was like a garden that people went in to take some fruits. They sat with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَأَضَافَهَا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ, yani this is why he said it is referred to as a rawda, because it's like a garden where the people yani came to take from the fruits of the garden, yani from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is attributed to Jannah, yani rawdatun min riyadul Jannah, and it is connected to the Jannah, لِأَنَّهَا تَقُودُ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ, because this place yani was the place where the people, when they were in it and they were worshipping Allah in it, then it was the means that led them to the Jannah, to the paradise. And this is, and he says, this is like the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Al-Jannah tahta dhilal al-suyuf, the hadith that we mentioned earlier, that the paradise is beneath the shadows of the swords. يعني أنه عمل يوصي به إلى الجنة. يعني it is a deed, a work, a worship that is done in this place that, or in that hadith, the second hadith, يعني it is a deed that leads a person to paradise. And the worship in this place also leads a person to paradise. And then he said, كما يقال, and as it is said, الأم باب من أبواب الجنة, that the mother, يعني, is a door of the doors of paradise. The mother is a door from the doors of paradise. يعني similar to the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, in which he said, الجنة تحت, يعني, تحت what? أقدام أمهاتكم. يعني, that the Jannah is under the feet of the mothers. And even though there's some discussion concerning this wording, but there's another wording in which the Prophet ﷺ said to a man who was going out to expedition, he asked him, did he have a mother? He said, is your mother living? He said, yes. He said, then stay with your mother, because your Jannah is at her feet. And that hadith is definitely authentic. And what is intended here is that, in reference to the mother, that Jannah is at the feet of the mother, or that is one of the doors of Jannah, it means that being kind and dutiful to one's mother is a means that leads a person to Jannah, as long as they, along with that, fulfill the obligatory duties. And this kind of expression, يعني Ibn Abdul Barr, rahimahullah, says, is يعني well known in the Arabic language, and Allah knows best. Finally, the last quote that I want to mention here, يعني from the scholars, is Al-Imam An-Nawawi, rahimahullah. He mentions in his explanation of Sahih Muslim, he said concerning this hadith that ذكروا في معناه قولين, يعني that the scholars mentioned concerning the meaning of this hadith two sayings, two opinions. One of them, أن ذلك موضوع بعينه ينقل إلى الجنة, يعني that particular place specifically will be يعني literally brought to be a part, يعني taken to the Jannah, will be in the Jannah. And the second meaning is أن العبادة فيه تؤدي إلى الجنة, يعني that worshipping in this place leads a person to the paradise. And then he mentioned some other يعني comments concerning the meaning of bait and the meaning of qabr and the relation between them in this hadith, يعني the wording of the hadith and the meaning of the hadith being qabr, from other scholars he mentioned. There's one more quotation from Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani, and he says in Fath al-Bari that the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Rawdatun min riyadul jannah," and a garden from the gardens of paradise, he gives three interpretations. One, "Karawdati min riyadul jannah," it will be like a garden from the gardens of paradise, yani similar to it, resembling it, "fi nuzul ar-rahma," in that the mercy would descend in this place, وَهُصُولَ السَّعَادَةِ, and a person would reach happiness and success, بِمَا يَحْصُلْ مِنْ مُلَازِمَةِ حِلَقِ الذِّكْرَ, يعني due to a person يعني in this place sticking to the gatherings of dhikr, of remembrance of Allah and so on, يعني learning and teaching and so on, especially in the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So يعني there will be a resemblance, يعني the meaning here is resemblance, يعني رَوْضَةٌ مِنْ رِيَاضُ الْجَنَّةِ, the meaning is يعني كَرَوْدَةٍ مِنْ رِيَاضُ الْجَنَّةِ, it will be like a garden from the gardens of paradise, يعني resemblance, resembling, يعني in this world this place will resemble a garden from the gardens of paradise. The second meaning that he gave is that الْإِبَادَ فِيهَا تُؤَدِّي إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ, as we mentioned previously, so that the meaning is مَجَازًا, يعني it is that the worship in this place will lead a person to entry into Jannah, and in this case the meaning is not literal but it is figurative. And the third meaning he gave, huwa ala zahirihi, it is as it appears to be, yani its apparent literal meaning, and the meaning is annahu rawdatun haqiqatan, yani it is a rawda in reality, a real garden from the gardens of paradise, bi an yantaqil dhalika mawdi' bi aynihi fil akhirah ila Jannah, in that this particular place will be transferred, يعني this specific literal physical place will be transferred in the next life to the Jannah. And these are some of the meanings that the scholars have given concerning this particular hadith. And this is mentioned by Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani in Fath al-Bari, explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari. And finally, we should say that this hadith, in any one of these meanings that we choose, show the excellence and superiority and the virtue that is apparent in this particular place. And this should necessitate that a Muslim be eager and diligent to take advantage of sitting in this place and worshipping in this place, salat and dhikr and dua and qira'at and Qur'an. Except that we also should mention that what is more important than merely sitting in this place, rather it is the worship that one does, the taqwa of Allah that is exemplified in the worship of Allah in this place. That is the real reason for a person earning the reward of Allah in His pleasure and entering into the Jannah. And Allah knows best. These are some of the meanings that we can mention quickly concerning this hadith. And before we close, inshallah, if there's a question about what we said, we'll take that. And then we're going to review the hadith for those who didn't recite it from memory yet, whoever would like to recite it. Any question first concerning any of the meanings of this hadith that we have mentioned? No. Fadl. Whoever didn't recite from memory, get ready, please. Now.
Here when it says, An Abi.
Now.
And here it says, Min Riyadi.
Now.
With the An, you said the Ya is.
The Ya is the sign of it being Majroor here, because this is one of the Asma al Khamsa, the five nouns that when they are Majroor, the sign that they are Majroor is not Kasra but Ya. If they are marfu'an, the sign is not dhamma but waw. And if they are mansub, their sign that it's mansub is not fatha but aleph.
Okay.
Here, because this is a special word, ab.
No.
Like akh, also it has the same rule.
Right.
But in normal words, outside of asma al-khamsa, then the kasra is the sign that it's majroor. Fayyib. Normal words, there are different signs of a word being majroor, but mufrad, singular words, normally we say they're majroor, the sign that they're majroor is kasra. But then there are other types of words like al-asma al-khamsa and the muthanna words and sound plurals, the masculine sound plurals, feminine sound plurals. They have different signs and they indicate the i'rab. Naam. Abdul Haq. Okay,
assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
It's about the meaning of the hadith.
Naam.
At the end, the person, I don't remember who was that, you recommended.
The last one I was reading from Imam Nawawi.
Yeah, okay, Imam Nawawi. You recommended.
Oh no, that wasn't from Imam Nawawi. That's just general recommendation. Now,
yeah.
He recommended, go ahead.
Yeah, about the recommendation. Because you know, for substitute that, for example, praying to the Masjid al-Haram, we have such reward, praying to the Masjid of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But for this one, because we are not very sure about the meaning. So is it really worthy to go to that place and worship Allah if you're not sure about
it? It is agreed upon by the scholars of Sunnah that this is a place that people should worship. What is not agreed upon is that applicable to the obligatory prayers as well as the voluntary prayers. But the scholars of Sunnah agree that the Prophet ﷺ saying that this is a rawda from the Riyadul Jannah is a clear indication of the virtuousness, the superiority and the excellence of this place. Whether it is literal or figurative, it shows its excellence, its fadl. There's no doubt about that. The difference is, should a person be eager and diligent to pray in that place in the obligatory prayer as well as voluntary prayers? And the correct opinion is that not so in the obligatory prayers, because in the obligatory prayers, the person should pray in the first row. That is better. But in voluntary prayers, or in dhikr or dua, reading the Quran, outside of the obligatory prayers, then this place has virtue and excellence over the other areas of the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, wa iyyakum. Okay, so we're going to stop here inshallah and just take one or two who didn't recite from memory yet. Somebody who would like to recite from memory this hadith. An Abi Hurairata radiyallahu anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ma bayna bayti wa minbari Raudatum min Riyad al Jannah, min Riyad al Jannati muttafaqun alayhi. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, somebody who didn't recite yet, Abdul Haq now. Min Riyad al Jannah, without Tamar Buddha.
Min Riyad al Jannah.
Anybody else who didn't recite? Who didn't recite the hadith? You didn't recite? Huh? Did you recite, Shuaib? Okay, Shuaib, now.
I'm أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما بين بيتي ومنبري
روضة
روضة من رياض الجنة.
متفق عليه. Anybody else didn't recite it from memory? نعم محمد. ما شاء الله أحسن. طيب, we're going to stop here, and I'll just encourage each of us, brothers and sisters, please try to memorize this hadith and review the hadith that we've taken in the previous weeks, and try. We're going to try to memorize all of these 20 hadith, or at least most of them, as best we can. Everybody according to their ability. If you can't memorize all of them, try at least to memorize most of them. At least half of them, at least half of them, are 10 words or less. No excuse for not to memorize these short ones like this. Okay, but we want to try to memorize all of them. If not all, then most. May Allah grant us tawfiq to have care in memorizing these hadith and understanding their meanings, and then trying to apply them as best we can, so that it will be a motivation for us to do that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember that this is the month of Muharram, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged the excellence of this month. He referred to it as the month of Allah, Shahrullah al-Muharram. That means it's a special time, and we should do good deeds as much as we can in this month, in the whole of it, especially fasting and other things besides that. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.